for all the power of the enemy. But sometimes we're not always using what's available to us. You know, there's so much available to us. Something can be yours, but if you don't access it, if you don't use it, it does you no good. I know of plenty of people that had left things that they didn't know were theirs, but legally they were theirs. And legally we have so many wonderful things that God has provided for us. I love the name and the word of God. The name of Jesus and the word of God are so powerful. You know, the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us the power and of authority, the power of attorney to use his name. You know, John 15:16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." He gave us that power. That's in essence power of attorney to use his name for whatever we need. That's how much authority and power is in back of that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, the name. And I love the name and the word. My goodness, the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm telling you, it's the word of God that produces so much change. You know, you can speak the word of God and see circumstances change. You can speak the word of God and see people change. I sat there and read that word of God. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. One day I became brand new. I'm telling you, it produces. It's a seed, and when it's planted in our hearts, it will grow up, according to Mark chapter 4. It'll grow up and become greater, and it'll produce great trees and branches where the birds of the air will lodge. Oh, the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. Not one jot or tittle of his word. Woo, thank you, Jesus. The name and the word, and I love those, and I study them all the time. But then there's the blood of Jesus. The blood of the everlasting covenant. The power of the blood of Jesus has provided everything that you and I need to live a victorious Christian life. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood contained the very life and nature. It still does. It still speaks. I'm telling you, that blood still speaks. It contains the very life and nature of God in it. And it's never lost its power. It's still working today. The blood of the everlasting covenant. And I want to minister tonight. God's been speaking to me about the blood of Jesus. And I gave an altar call Sunday on the Lamb of God. And I want to minister just for a few minutes tonight on the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. As Christians, a lot of times we know about the blood. We sing songs. I appreciate Tony and Johnny and the praise singers. Singing those couple of songs on the blood. We sing songs about the blood. We sing hymns about the blood. We remember the blood during communion. But man, I'm telling you, the blood is so powerful. The blood is so powerful. Man, I'll use that name of Jesus and I use the word of Jesus, but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of the everlasting covenant. From Genesis to Revelation, God keeps the blood before our eyes. From Genesis to Revelation, it is significant to God, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Sacrifices all through the Bible. It's been said that the greatest expression of God's love towards us is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest expression of God's love towards us is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It covers every need. It covers every need that we've had, that we have, or that we will have. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And every time we apply the blood of Jesus, we experience an outpouring of God's love. Every time we apply the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, God had that plan. God had that plan of redemption when Eve was deceived and sinned and chose to disobey God. Well, disobey God. And then Adam just comes along and follows suit right behind Eve and chooses to disobey God. And when Adam chose to disobey God, he made Satan Lord. He bowed the knee to Satan and he turned over all the authority that he had in the earth to the devil. He made Satan the illegitimate ruler of the earth. And from that day forward, everything changed. Everything changed. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The earth and everything in it, because of that sin, was cursed. A perfect place. How do you sin in a perfect environment? Amen? How do you sin in a perfect environment? And all of a sudden, everything was cursed and everything changed. Man was separated from God. Death came. Sounds unfixable, right? But God. I said, but God. God had a plan. It was a plan of redemption. And it would be through the shedding of blood. And you know, there were sacrifices, and there were the sacrifices of bulls and goats and rams, and there were all these sacrifices, and blood continually flowed. But redemption of mankind was bigger than that. Redemption for mankind was bigger than that. Redemption of mankind took the blood of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. The greatest thing the blood of Jesus accomplished, ladies and gentlemen, for us was this. It washed away all of our sins and made us pure and clean and righteous and holy and just before God. That's the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It washed us white as snow. And from the minute you receive Jesus as Lord, God will not remember your past sin. God will not remember your sins. He says he will remember our sins no more. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout about that. Amen. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. He doesn't even remember our sins. There's no record of them. He can't bring them back up to us. You know, there are some things God can't do. There are some things God can't do. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. He doesn't remember that. He can't remember the believer's sins. They're washed. They're cleansed. They're gone. It's finished, ladies and gentlemen. We are under the blood, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You know what's great about it? It's nothing that we did. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Hallelujah. We can't mess it up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can't mess it up. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We can't mess it up. It's perfect. It's done. It's finished. Hallelujah. All we do is receive it. Receive that free gift. Hallelujah. In addition to having our sins washed and never to be brought up to us again. The blood sets us free from the curse that's in this world. The blood sets us free from the curse. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Galatians 3:13. Glory, I'm just going to read it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Hallelujah. You're redeemed, ladies and gentlemen. I said you're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the curse of the law? Death, sin, sickness, dirty devil, disease, poverty, lack, depression, anything bad you can think of, it's a curse. Adam's transgression, his treason, gave Satan authority over man. But because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you make Jesus Lord, you have been redeemed from that curse. And Satan is out of business as far as your life is concerned. Hallelujah. Kenneth E. Hagin says, the curse is this: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. But God. But God. So the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. John the Baptist. Baptizing beyond Jordan. Said, behold, look, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. I'm going to turn to it because I want to read more scripture than that. John 1, 25 through 29. And they asked him, John the Baptist, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Hallelujah. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, the sacrifices meant a never-ending flow of blood. Think how much blood flowed every day in the Old Testament. It was constant. It was constant. Look at Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 5. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. They continually had to go and offer a sacrifice. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Remember what he said? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Now look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, hallelujah, this man, that's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Somebody give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. What an awesome God. He'll remember them no more. Turn back one chapter to Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were made under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It took them away. He didn't cover our sins, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't just wash them under the rug. I'm telling you, he took them away. As far as the east is from the west, he took our sins that far away from us. He put them behind his back, never to see them again, never to bring them to our remembrance. And he did it for the whole world. Hallelujah. He didn't do it just for us in this room. He did it for the whole world. He did it for the drug addict. He did it for the alcoholic. He did it for the prostitute. He did it for the murderer. I'm telling you, he did it for the whole world. Sheep. The Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How did Jesus do that? He did it by becoming God's sacrificial lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Isaiah 53:7. I'll just read it for you. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus took our place. Jesus bore our punishment. He died the death that we should have died. Hallelujah. He was separated from God, so we never have to be separated from God. Hallelujah. So, the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. How did he do it? Because he was the sacrificial lamb. Well, the sacrificial lamb had to be perfect. without spot and without wrinkle. Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. When a sinner, listen to this now, when a sinner under the Old Covenant in Old Testament times came to offer a sacrifice, they had to bring a lamb without blemish. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. The priest would examine the lamb to make sure there was nothing wrong with it. No spot, no wrinkle. Only a perfect lamb could be offered as a sacrifice. Notice the priest examined the lamb, not the person bringing the lamb. Oh, come on, somebody. The priest examined the lamb, not the person bringing the lamb. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. God doesn't examine us to see if we're worthy. We aren't. God looks on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of our faith in Him, He pronounces us just and righteous and holy and born again and redeemed from the curse of the law. Accepted. Thank you, Jesus, for being my substitute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shibarabasa. Ambarabasa karabasa karabasa. Humarabasa karabasi karabasa. Humarabasa karabasa. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. In the Old Testament, the inspection process was extremely thorough. Extremely thorough. It took time. They guaranteed that the lamb met the very strictest standards of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ met every one of those criteria. The Lamb of God is perfect, without spot, without blemish, holy, righteous, and just. 1 Peter 1, I'm going to turn to that. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All the money in the world could not have redeemed mankind. The only thing that could outweigh the sin of the world was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' life was so pure, was so holy, that one drop of His blood was worth more than all the debt of all of mankind. The blood of Jesus is the most valuable thing in this universe. Let me say that again. The blood of Jesus is the most valuable thing in the universe. So, it was a thorough process. The lamb had to be spotless, without blemish. He had to be perfect, the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus Christ met every one of those. Why? Well, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. Jesus Christ went through seven distinct inspections and confessions and was found blameless. Number one, Pontius Pilate, John 19:4. the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's just start with verse 1, John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, that's one. What about, King Herod, Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 13. King Herod inspected Jesus and said he had done nothing worthy of death. Look at this. Luke 23, 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Pontius Pilate, no fault. King Herod, nothing worthy of death. Number three, Annas. Annas was the father-in-law of the high priest, Caiaphas. Annas inspected Jesus, and he obviously found no fault in Jesus, for he passed Jesus on to his son-in-law, the high priest, Caiaphas, in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. He found no fault. John 18, 12. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Oh, man, it's all here. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Verse 24, now Annas sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Annas found no fault in him, nothing worthy of death. So he goes to Caiaphas. And in that same chapter, chapter 18, Caiaphas, the high priest, inspected Jesus, number four, and found no blame that could be placed on the spotless Son of God. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God. Matthew 26, verses 59 and 60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. They found none. Pilate, Herod, Annas, Caiaphas. Then, number five, Judas. Judas Iscariot. Even Judas Iscariot inspected our Savior. For 3.5 years, he was with him. He had the bag. He was with him everywhere. And he betrayed him. He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. But he mourned that action later. Look at Matthew 27, verses 3 and 4. He mourned that action. He tried to undo what he did, but it was too late. Matthew 27, verses 3 and 4. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Whoa. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. Wow. Even Judas Iscariot knew he was the Lamb of God, spotless, sinless. Wow. Well, there's two more. Number six, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. Luke 23, verse 40. The thief on the cross inspected Jesus. He was right there with Jesus in his last hours. He was right there with Jesus in his last hours. And he was hanging beside Jesus during his final hours on the cross and said Jesus had done nothing amiss. Look at this, chapter 23, verse 40. But the other, that's the thief, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Didn't do anything wrong. He's hanging on this cross for doing nothing wrong. Hallelujah. This common criminal, through those simple words, received eternal life and is in heaven today. Hallelujah. And number seven, man, the Lamb of God, the perfect, spotless, without blemish, perfect sacrifice for all of our sins, the Lamb of God. The seventh one that inspected Jesus and made a confession was the centurion, the head of the soldiers that crucified him. The head won. Matthew 27, verse 54. The centurion was the commander of those Roman soldiers, and when it was finished, he gave this result. Matthew 27, 54, and I'm in the wrong book. Thank God for the Word of God. Matthew 27, 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Seven inspections came and went. Seven confessions, seven inspections, seven inspections, all pointed to the irrefutable fact that no one could find fault in the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. No one could find fault in him. Thank God there were seven. I said, thank God there were seven. Seven with these inspections and confessions, because you know what seven is? Seven is the biblical number of salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Second Corinthians, oh, come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Can you imagine being there on that day? Behold the Lamb of God. It had to be by the Holy Ghost. Seeing Jesus walking towards them. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lori, come talk to us for a moment. Come share your heart right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God, hallelujah for the blood of Jesus. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was thinking about Genesis 3:15. Hallelujah. It's the dawning of the gospel, what he's talking about. It's the first picture of the cross in the Bible. And it's right after the fall, right after Adam and Eve had sinned. And God appears in the garden, and he's going to pronounce judgment, and he begins with Satan. And Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yeah. Hallelujah. It shall bruise thy head. In other words, that's not talking about Satan's physical head there. It's talking about him being the head of a kingdom. And when you take the head out, you take out the kingdom, which is exactly what Jesus Christ did. Hallelujah. On the cross. And thou shalt bruise his heel. And of course, that is a picture of the cross, isn't it? Hallelujah. The heel. Ephesians 2:16 says, enmity was slain on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The enmity that was put right here between man, hallelujah, yeah, and the seed, which is Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It reminds me, too, of Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. I'll just paraphrase. It's one of my favorite scriptures because it's just a beautiful picture. God asked a question. He said, Can a woman forget her own child? And God said, answered the question, and he said, yes, a woman can forget her own child. But he said, I will never forget you because I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you think about it, God could have raised Jesus from the dead without a scar on his body. But you know what? It is the mark of the covenant, the blood covenant. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And I like what Charlie said, too. You know, it's something that man can't mess up because that blood covenant was cut between Jesus Christ and the Father, between God and God, not between man. What we enter into that covenant by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Receiving all the benefits of the covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And think of the power of the blood of Jesus to redeem. You know, the blood was the price. Amen. That's what redemption is. A price was paid for our sin. A price was paid for our poverty. Amen. A price was paid. Glory to God. For sickness and disease.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The power in the blood of Jesus to, as Dr. Vaughn says, to wipe the slate clean. Hallelujah. Wipe it clean. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Just like they did in Egypt. What did the children of Israel have to do? They had to apply the blood, amen, so that the destroyer would pass over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not only was the whole house delivered, the whole house was healed. Glory
hallelujah.
To God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. You know what? There might be some people in here yet that might need healing, amen. There might be some people in here that need the power of poverty broken in their lives. Amen. Well, there's not a better way to do it than the word of God, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So if anybody wants